Tonight, I'm going to talk about religious Babylon. Next slide. The beast, I believe, is actually a system that is already in place. It just has not been implemented in our time, in our nation. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast and is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of sins you can commit and God will forgive you. If you commit fornication, God will forgive you. If you lie, He'll forgive you. You steal. But the Bible says if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, that's the only sin that you cannot find forgiveness of. To blaspheme the Holy Ghost is to experience the real, true, and genuine power of the Holy Ghost, and then to turn and stop it and to say it's not what it used to be. It is. And to mock it and to deny it. You be careful about blaspheming the Holy Ghost. But it goes on to say that power was given unto him to continue 42 months, which was 3.5 years. Now there will be a 3.5 year period of time that the church will suffer the tribulation of the enemy. Everyone say the tribulation of the enemy. This is not the great tribulation. The church will not face the great tribulation. But this is the tribulation of the enemy against the church. The mark of the beast will begin after the Antichrist becomes revealed and nations rise to pledge allegiance to him. And at that moment's when the wrath of God will begin to become poured out. And somewhere between this time, with the tribulation of the enemy coming against the church and the wrath of God being poured out, we're going to discover that the Lord will catch us away. Next slide. Verse 25 says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, none of you have noticed in this last hour, it seems the closer we get to God's coming, the more weary people get with walking with God. Weary churches are getting with standing behind the true, pure Word of God. Weary with standing for biblical standards of godliness and biblical standards of morality. And we have so much junk going on this time. I don't know if we're in the midst of this time of the enemy trying to wear out the saints. But I tell you, if you can just keep moving forward, keep being faithful, God is going to give us a measure of breakthrough and revival even during this time of the attack of hell. There might be some churches that are not overcoming through prayer and fasting, that are not overcoming and are falling under the load of the enemy. But there will be an apostolic church that will stand strong even though the devil's trying to wear them out. He said he'll think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into the hand to a time. You see a time? And times, say times, and dividing of time. This is Ezekiel 38. It talks about 3.5 years again, this space of time that the enemy will come against the church to wear them out. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it in the end. Next slide. Revelations 14:8-9 talks about the government of Babylon falling. And it says, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations to drink of the wine of her wrath, of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast's image and receive his mark on his forehead or his hand, next slide, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God. Now, you've never really seen the wrath of God in the measure like he's going to pour it out. So whoever takes the mark, the problem in this day and hour, there will be thousands, yea, millions of people who naively and ignorantly receive the mark because they sat in churches that failed to teach truth, that failed to sound the warning. Well, this is one preacher that's going to tell you, don't you take the mark. Now, many theories talk about the mark being on or in a chip or in whatever it is. Don't let nobody mark your body. The Bible says don't mark your body anyway. You don't need tattoos on your body. Hello, somebody. The Lord gave explicit instructions about graven images and tattooing. He said, don't you do it because it's idolatry. It's against me. It's against my word. So you're safe if you don't let anything mark your body. If you got some high-fluting paying job that they want to come and put some implant in your arm or hand so you can make your $1 million, you better go down to the Jack in the Box and flip some hamburgers, friend, and save your soul. Save your soul. Oh, come on, somebody. Praise them. He said, the wrath of God will be poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended forever and ever. And they had no rest day and night who worshiped the beast and his image and receiveth the mark of his name. And here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, I remember a few years ago, there was a man teaching in Texas that the Social Security numbers are the mark of the beast. And he got a bunch of saints put in jail. Because they went and they cut their Social Security cards and refused to use them. Now, don't be ignorant. I mean, your credit cards and your wallets, your ATM cards, that's not the mark of the beast. It's all in a wallet and you can throw it aside. But don't receive anything, a mark on your body. I don't know why I'm hitting this, but I'm telling you what, if there's anyone here toying with the idea of a tattoo, you better pray, repent and pray through. It's not a God. I said, it's not a God. Next slide. Seventh angel, seventh trumpet is the rapture. And simultaneously, I believe, maybe at the same time, but at the same time frame, will be the wrath of the vials, the wrath of God. You find Revelation 14:14-15 describes this process. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Everyone say, apostolic revival. This is the harvest of end time revival that God is reaping even we speak now. I tell you, just 1 month ago, more than 100,000 people stood in an open field and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the first time, speaking with tongues. Revival's happening. It don't matter what valley you're in. Wake up. The world is experiencing revival. We might be in a battle right now, but get ready, honey. Victory's coming. And we're going to break through. And we're going to see God pour His Spirit out in St. Joseph. Now that's the reaping of the harvest. Now let's look at the next one. And he that sat on the cloud thrust his sickle into the earth, and the earth was reaped. Harvest. Then, and another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power of the fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Next slide. And the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth. Now, once again, it's the time frame. Rapture, wrath of God. God's going to catch his church away and look out. All those stinking New Agers, earth firsters, all those atheists, humanists that come against the church of God. Honey, when we're out of here, you can have this world. You can go and worship trees. Go ahead and run the streets and have your gay parades. Because once the church is gone, you got no more hope. They better thank God at the corner of Cook Road and 29. There's a tongue-talking, Bible-preaching, apostolic church. Let them say what they want to, but it's the only thing that's keeping God's wrath away from this world. Oh, come on, somebody. Praise Him. He cast it into the great wine press. And everyone say, the wrath of God. And the wine press was trodden without the city. And blood came out of the wine press, even unto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. And this is describing the absolute catastrophe and chaos of the Battle of Armageddon. Until about 10 years ago, this wasn't even a concept. Because most modern warfare is almost bloodless. most high caliber weapons. Once they shoot you, you're dead within a few minutes. There's not that much blood. If a nuclear bomb went off, everything becomes evaporated. But with the introduction of germ warfare, they discovered 10 years ago several viruses. And there's a book out. It's a true book, but it's about called The Hot Zone. And it's a book that describes several diseases that were unearthed in Africa. The Ebola and Marburg viruses. Viruses that still scientists have worked for 20 years feverishly and have never found any cure for it. The Ebola and Marburg virus is a fast-acting virus that once it enters into the bloodstream of a human being, you begin to have headaches and a severe pain between your back, and you think you've just got a backache and a headache, but within a few hours, you start bleeding from your eyes and different open orifices of your body. Within 3 days, this entire virus tries to turn your body cells into itself. And your body cannot keep up with this virus that multiplies so quickly. And within 7 days, the death that you die is so horrible, you do what is called bleed out. Your body empties the entire contents of its fluids, bloods, everything, from the orifices, your eyes, your ears, your nose, and you die and you bleed out. And it's a contagious disease that can be caught just in the air by breathing it. And all it would take was one bomb over a city the size of Los Angeles with this virus in concentration, and you would see millions of people in the streets bleeding out. Blood. I want to be on the rapture train. I said, I want to be out of here when this kind of stuff starts taking place. Next slide. Immediately after the tribulation, let me say after tribulation, this is talking about the tribulation of the enemy against the church. Matthew 24. Of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And we talked about this in the first lesson with the Kuwait war. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven, and shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth to the other. Just before, after the tribulation of the enemy, before the tribulation of God, the wrath of God, there's going to be the gathering of the children of God. Next slide. The wrath of God versus the wrath of the enemy. The Bible tells us that God has not appointed us to wrath. Say, God has not appointed us to wrath. The things that God has prepared in what is called the seven plagues, and we'll talk about this in a second, is not for the church. It is for the enemy and those that take the mark and those that deny his name and deny who he is. Verse 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Turn to neighbor and say, we're not appointed to wrath. That's why we got to preach this gospel. That's why we got to have revival. That's why we can't sit around and patty cake and worry about hurt feelings and who says what and what position. Listen, there's a lost and dying world out here. We need to get in the streets and preach it. Jesus is coming. Get yourself ready. Get your house in order. You don't want to be here when the wrath of God falls against this world. We've got to have revival. Amen. The seven plagues. Next slide. Next slide. There are seven plagues that are going to be poured out upon the world for those that are not ready. For those that are not ready. Once again, these seven plagues are around the seven vials, which is the shortest picture of the end time. Your seven trumpets, your vials, your short picture, your trumpets are your longer picture, and your seals are your longest picture. Next slide. Seven plagues. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. Does this mean that the church is going to be here while the mark of the beast is? There might be parts of the world. Because once again, there are parts of prophecy, vials, there are parts of trumpets, there are parts of seals that are not a complete overall picture, but there are pockets. And there may be countries of the world that they will go in and introduce the mark as a model. And there may be saints. I don't know. I'm just trying to tell you that the Bible tells us there will be those that will have victory over the beast, that will have denied his mark and have not pledged allegiance to him. Now, these seven plagues are very similar to the plagues that struck Egypt. All seven of these vials are poured out immediately following the seventh trumpet, which is the sound of the trumpet for catching the church away. I tell you, the vials are terrible. That's why we must be ready. We must be full of the Holy Ghost. We must be prayed up. We must have oil in our lamps. First plague, sores on those who take the mark. Revelation 16 and 2, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the man which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. So everyone that takes the mark, you're going to wake up one morning, and there's going to be huge boils all over your body. How many of you ever had one boil? They're no fun. As you're waking up covered with them. Next slide. Then the sea becomes blood. Not as. It says it becomes blood. Some catastrophic, terrible event will take place that the Pacific, Atlantic, Mediterranean seas will become blood. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the seas. That's pretty terrible for everything that. Did you know, I think it said 2/3 of the earth is covered by water? Imagine the stench of that death. You don't want to be here after the rapture. Next slide. Then the rivers, fountains, floods. That means when you go out there to turn on the water faucet, instead of water coming out, blood. It's going to get in the water tables. It's going to get in the streams. It's going to get in the fountains. Next slide. Then God gives power to the angel, poured his vial out upon the sun, and power is given to him to scorch men with fire. Could be global warming. I don't know. Do I believe in global warming? I don't know enough about it, whether I believe in it or not. But I do know the sun is going to have power to scorch men. Now, I know there are parts of the world. There are parts of Arizona that get up to 120, sometimes 130 degrees. And I've been in those climates, but I was never scorched. This is a phenomenon that takes place that you can't even go outside during the day. Think about it. Why risk it to live a life of fleeting sin? Why risk it for some temporal little good time that you think the devil's trinket, the devil's putting in your face and like tinsel saying, oh, look at this. Come on, young person, try this. Oh, come on, everybody's doing it. Yeah, everybody's going to face some terrible things. You're going to be ready, my friend. You want your life ready. And the men were scorched with a great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. And they were so vile in their heart, they repented not to give Him glory. Let me tell you why they don't repent. Let me give you a little secret. You can't repent unless God draws you. You can't. I've seen people that grieve the Holy Ghost. God drew them, God drew them, God drew them. And year after year after year, they pushed off God. They lived their life. The Bible says, except a man be drawn by God, he can't even come to you. You can't even come to God unless God's Spirit draws you. You don't know how. You don't have power in yourself to find God. And I've sent services where I gave warnings to people and said, God is dealing with you one last time. And I felt the fear of God fall. Does it mean God doesn't care no more? No. There comes a time where God will turn His back. And when God turns His back on somebody, He's dealt with you one last time. He's drawn you one last time. From that day forward, there's no way you can come to God because you're not being drawn by Him. You're left to live your life, your lust, to do whatever you want to do. That's a sad, sad day, my friend. And I tell you, if there was a way that God would turn His back to you, you'd feel His presence and He would draw you. I want God to deal with me. God, don't take your conviction. Don't feel bad when God's conviction. Conviction is good, young people. It's good to feel convicted. That means God loves you and He's still dealing with you. He's still trying to help you. Don't ever say, I'm tired of conviction. Thank you, God, for having patience with me. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for reaching for me. Don't give up on me, God. Oh, lift your hands to God right now over this building. God, the reason why they can't repent is because God's Spirit is gone from this earth. When He takes His church, His Spirit's gone. They can't repent. They're given. Come. You think this world is wicked now? You think San Quentin's full of a bunch of wicked people? There's going to be San Quentins all over this entire nation. In the streets. Next slide. Darkness fills Satan's kingdom. The fifth vial. And the fifth angel poured out this vial upon the seat of the beast, or the devil. And his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. I don't know what kind of horror it is that you make you chew your tongue. That must be pretty terrible. I don't want to face it, my friend. I don't want my family to face it. I don't want my neighbors to face it. I want them to know the joy of God. I want them to know the blessings of God. I want them to know streets of gold and walls of jasper and a stand where the Lamb is the light. Not to stand gnawing their tongue, covered with boils, burnt skin because of the sun. It's terrible! I've got to reach them. And they blasphemed God because of their pain and sores. And they did not repent because there was no presence of God. I wonder what will happen when that rapture sounds and the trumpet sounds. I wonder who will come running, screaming in this church. And come and sit in here and just say, God, one more time, let me feel your presence. But you won't feel it. He won't be here. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to give your life to God. Quit playing with sin. Quit messing with the world. Get your life straight and consecrate your life to God now. Why, you got a chance. Oh, come on, somebody, praise Him. Andramaha, I must be saved. I must be saved. I must be saved. Above all else, I must be saved. Next slide. And the sixth angel is poured out, and the great Euphrates dried up. The way of the kings of the east and prepared to set the stage for the battle of Armageddon. Three unclean spirits like frogs came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Next slide. They are the spirits of devils working miracles. You better be careful about just following people because of miracles. You might be following the devil. You better make sure that whoever's preaching and doing miracles is preaching this word, my friend. It's preaching the book. Hallelujah. You better not just follow somebody because they got some charisma and flash and glamour. Make sure, my friend, they're preaching the book. Make sure they're preaching what they'll say at the word of God. Not soft soaping it and sugarcoating it. Which go forth in the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them into the battle of the great day of Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments. You got to keep your garments. Can't drag your garments through the mud. Tell you something, my friend. There's some places that the Holy Ghost won't go. You got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost won't go into a bar. Won't go into a dance hall. Holy Ghost won't go into some X-rated shop, and there's some things the Holy Ghost won't do. Stay full of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will keep you. It will lead you. It will guide you. And finally, He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. This is the final battle where God comes with His saints and His angels and stands for Israel. Because I'm going to tell you something, when that trumpet sounds, the door to the Gentiles closes. God does not deal with Gentiles anymore as a nation or as a people. He turns His attention back to the Jews. And tell you something. When the true Christians and people that are praying are gone, and nobody's there to intercede for the nation of Israel, all nations will turn against Israel.
because they hate Israel. Tell you something. The United Nations hates Israel. Listen to me. The United Nations hates Israel.
Elements of the Battle of Armageddon. Next slide. It's a great voice from heaven. Voices, thunders, lightnings. It's a great earthquake. And I'm not going into great detail on this because you know what? We're not going to be here. Why worry about it? I just want to get someone saved. I just want to wake somebody up in this house. A great earthquake. Babylon as a system, governmental, is judged. God's wrath. Islands fled away. Mountains not found. That must be terrible. The islands just disappear in the oceans and mountains to crumble. Great hail. See how great this hail is. It's 125 pounds in weight. When hail comes down in softball size, damage it does. It comes through roofs. It kills cattle. I can't imagine hail 125 pounds in weight. Falling, the catastrophe, the things that it would do. Ezekiel 38 contains the different nations that are involved in the Battle of Armageddon. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy faith against Gog." The word Gog means chief. "And the land of Magog, and the chief prince of Meshach," which is Russia, "and Tubal, and prophesy against him." And he says, "Thus saith the Lord, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal," and tells that Russia will be a key player in this. The Soviet Union will be a key player in the Battle of Armageddon. "And I'll put hooks in thy jaws, and God's the one that's going to draw them forth to come against Israel." God will draw them. He's going to put hooks in their jaws and draw them. "And all the army and horsemen, and all the clothing with all sorts of armor, even a great company of shields and bucklers. Persia, Iran, Ethiopia, and Libya." See, the nations here that are involved in this attack is the Soviet Union, Turkey, Iran, Sudan, Ethiopia, and Libya. That's why I'm thankful God has reached his sickle into Ethiopia and taken a harvest. Hallelujah. "They will come from the north and attack Israel. But Gog and his allies will be defeated by God's direct divine intervention." How many ever read in history about was it the 3-day war? I can't remember. The 6-day war. I remember that. I remember reading that. Where suddenly, I think it was planes from Syria, if I'm not mistaken, all came in full force against the army of Israel, the air force of Israel. They didn't even have time to get into their planes to get in the sky. But these jet fighters said that as they were coming to annihilate Israel, as a surprise attack, suddenly they saw great shining creatures in the skies that blinded them so they couldn't see to fix their weapons and attack Israel. Because God said, "Uh-uh, it ain't time yet. There'll come a day when all nations will come, but not right now." And their report was they couldn't even see to have battle because of great shining creatures that were flying in the air. "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Now we come to the part, and I'm going to slow down. The harlot, false church that rides the beast, the system of this world. Next slide. Revelation 17, verse 1 through 3 says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked to me, saying, Come hither. And I'll show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon the many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication." There's going to be a great whore in this hour that the kings, the leaders. And since this whore is talking about a religious system, he's talking about a religious leaders that's going to commit fornication with this harlot. "And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk by the wine or the doctrine
of her fornication. And he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon, remember this, a scarlet-covered beast. What color is scarlet? Remember that, red. Amen. Sister Hannah, honey, stand up. I'm not saying this is bad. This is the color of red right here, scarlet. You see that? Remember that. Thank you, honey. Sit down. Red ain't bad. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you what color it is. Amen. And it had full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads. These seven heads was seven Christian orders. Remember that. Write that down. So seven heads or names of blasphemy. This is a Christian order set out to deceive humanity. The wine of this harlot's fornication is her doctrine. And many men will become drunk on the wine of her doctrine. Her daughters that come out of her system will be partaker of the plagues that come against her. That's why in this hour the apostolic church must stand and proclaim the gospel of truth. Because for the daughters that come from this harlot to escape the plagues of the book of Revelations, they must repent from the system of this harlot. There are countries across the world that are enslaved by this harlot. Countries like South America, Philippines, parts of Africa, Europe, even here in North America. Next slide. Look at here. Look at that. She's all happy there with a cup of her fornication sitting on top of the. She ain't going to laugh for long. Next slide. And the woman was arrayed in, everyone say purple? Yeah. Forgive me for, I'm not trying to, Sister. Sister Christine, stand up. This is purple. Everyone see that? There's nothing wrong with that. Just trying to show you for visual aid. Amen. She was arrayed. You ought to watch that wearing, if they come in black next Sunday night. Black and white. Hallelujah. Arrayed in purple and scarlet. Once again, what color is scarlet?
Red.
And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, the mystery of Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered. What religious system is this harlot that is decked with the colors of purple and red, that has a wine, a doctrine, that thousands of men, leaders, religiously become drunk on her doctrine and shed the blood of saints? What religious order has done this? I'll tell you, there's only one in the history of man. It's the Roman Catholic Church. If you've ever read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, you would read the atrocities that the Catholic Church put Christians through to try to stamp out Christianity. They would take people and stretch their bodies on racks until their bodies were literally torn apart. They would take people, they would not deny, and they would stuff steel lengths of steel wool down their throat and rip it out. You read it, the torment and the things they went through that the Catholic Church did in the name of conquest to stamp out the true church. If you look in the Catholic Church, the Pope mostly wears white. Most cardinals wear red or scarlet. Most bishops wear purple. And you would find this harlot would give birth to other harlots, other churches. You better check out your religion and find out, is it born in the book of Acts or is it come from the Catholic Church? You better trace the roots of what you believe. Because you might be part of a harlot. Your mama might be a whore, and you don't even know it. Oh, come on, I hope I'm offending somebody. I want you to wake up. Read the book. Your experience better go back to Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Look at this picture. Next slide. Cardinal. The scene of scarlet color as the British monarch is welcome to a Roman Catholic service by Cardinal. Everyone say Cardinal. Hume. Amen. I have misplaced my laser pointer. Next slide. Bring it up here. Woman decked with what? Red and purple. Here's a picture. Here, of a cardinal in red. It's got it right here. And a bishop in purple. Remember that, red and purple. A cardinal and archbishop. Next slide. What are they wearing here? All the front row here, red. All your archbishops, what color they got on? Oh, come on, somebody. You're going to hear truth here tonight. Next slide. Here is the Pope blessing a cardinal in red. And what color has the Pope got on? I think that's just coincidence. Next slide. Verse 7. And the angel said, and listen, this church, this harlot, this false church is so magnificent, so glamorous, that John the Revelator, who gave his life for the gospel, who was boiled in oil but wouldn't deny Jesus, banished the Isle of Patmos, was almost staggered by her beauty. And the angel said, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. The power of this harlot Christian church almost caused John to buckle and worship her. That's how powerful she was. You see, the power of this one world church structure is headed by a Christian entity would be magnificent. And if you step back in the flesh and looked at her, you'd think, my. Next slide. And here is the mind that has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains. Everyone say 7 mountains. On which the woman sits. Once again, he's talking about this false church, this Babylonian doctrine. And I'm going to show you how all of this traces back to ancient Babylon. You better find out where the roots of what you believe is in. You better find out what you believe and why you believe it and where it's found. And there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen and 1 is, others not. And when he comes, he must continue a short pace. And the beast that was and is not even, he is the 8th. And it's of the 7th. The 7 heads represent a geographic place. There is only one place in the world known as 7 mountains or 7 hills. And that's in the city of Rome. The city of 7 mountains. The Catholic Church in Rome calls themselves the mother of Christianity. Next slide. Look at this picture. This is the detail on it. All around here, the 7. Rome, the city of 7 hills. This is a layout of the 7 mountains. There's only one city that for 2,000 years has been known as the city of 7 hills. The Catholic Encyclopedia states it is within the city of Rome, called the city of 7 hills, that the entire area of the Vatican state proper is now confined. The Bible says she sits upon 7 hills. Next slide. Here out of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Talk about Rome. Originally built on 7 hills. That's now the heart of the city. Next slide. Here out of the Daily Catholic. The Catholic Church calls herself the history of the Mass and the Holy Mother Church. Now hang on. I'm not sitting here bashing. I'm just showing you what they call themselves. I'm revealing to you the truth of what's out there. You better make sure that you can trace your roots back to the Book of Acts Church. Or you might just be a part of the Harlot Church if you don't know what you believe. Next slide. I put up a Catholic website. They welcome you. Mother Church welcomes you. Next slide. Rosaries. It was the flower of Venus, or the rose. The flower of Venus in ancient Babylonian religion was the flower of the temple of prostitutes. Next slide. Look at this. Rose. The rosary was an instrument of worship of the rose, which Rome knew as the flower of Venus and the badge of her temple prostitutes. Next slide. And the ten horns which thou saw are ten kings. So ten horns, ten nations. Which have not received no kingdom as yet, but received the power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So the system of Babylon will empower 10 nations to rule for a season. And these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. So this nation will make war with the saints. Next slide. Here's the description again. And a woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations. And now here I pulled this from a Catholic website. Show it. Here is Mary, a central figure, Mary Magdalene. What's she got in her hand? Next slide. Here is off of a publication from Catholic Society, honoring one of the main figures worshipped in Roman Catholicism. I am the first and the last. I am the whore and the holy one. I didn't write this. This is from Catholic Society. They were honoring Mary Magdalene. I am the wife and the virgin. I am the mother and the daughter. I am she whose wedding is great, and I have not taken a husband. A whore will not commit to any name or any man. She'll sleep with anyone that comes along. Oh, come on now. I know I'm getting downplaying, but that's right. You need to hear the truth. Because the truth is going to... I'm glad I'm part of the bride of Christ. When you're a bride, you take a name. When you're a bride, you commit to somebody. When you're a whore, you don't care who you sleep with. Oh, come on. Put your hands together and praise God anyway. Here, Catholicism is saying, I don't have a husband. I'll just lay with anybody. You see, when you get in truth, you got to become married to a name. Jesus is the name of the married wife for the bride. That's why I go down in the name of Jesus, because I want His name applied. I'm committed to Him. Oh, come on, somebody. Thank God for truth. I'm glad I've been buried in the name of Jesus. Is there anyone tonight that you want to be part of the bride of Christ? You're waking up and saying, I've been married to a whore. You want to get a part of the bride of Christ? You want the name applied to your life? Hey, we'll baptize you. We'll put you down in water and you'll come out. Oh, come on, somebody. Praise Him. Put your hands together and praise Him. Thank God for truth. Now, hang on. 9/11. The Roman, how many remember 9/11? You can't forget that. I remember right after that they had a great big sing-spiration. Old Beth Miller got up there and did her, and they talk about how religious this is and the Catholic Church put it together. Let me show you a picture of this thing. Show it. Right there, Beth Miller. Catholic priest. A warlock. A leader, a warlock. That's a wizard. That's Wicca. Witchcraft. This is straight from the New York Times. A leader of Islam. Catholic Church don't care who they bed with. All in the same bed of fornication. Just enjoying themselves. Catholics, Protestants, witches, Satanists, all gather to pray. Why? They worship the same spirits. My Lord. Next slide. Look at this. The Interfaith Council of Washington recently elected a Wiccan, once again, witchcraft, Pete Davis as its newest president. Wiccans follow a nature or earth-centered spirituality that reveres deity as manifest in the cycles of the earth and moon and as manifest in nature. Davis is the founder of the Aquarian Tabernacle Church. The Seattle-based council includes Baha'is, Buddhists, Christians, Muslims, Jews. I want all kind of Christians. I hope they know apostolics there. Come on now, get out of that bed of fornication, honey. Get back in the truth. Unitarians, Universalists, Wiccans, Zoroastrians, many are wondering how far ecumenism can go. It's apparently coming far away. Hey, I'm not interested in jumping in bed with I'm interested in standing behind this word. I'm interested in standing behind what thus saith the word of God. Oh, come on, somebody. Here is a paper from USA Today. In what they call a historic declaration, evangelicals, including Pat Robertson and Charles Colson, joined with conservative Roman Catholic leaders Tuesday in upholding the ties of faith that bind the largest and most politically active religious groups. Everybody's jumping in the bed. Except the Apostolic Church. Next slide. Now, those of you that think Billy Graham is just all great and dandy, I don't want to pop your bubble. Once again, I'm just showing you truth. Here's Billy Graham sitting. Who's that right there? Billy Graham recognized the Pope on Bill Donahue's show and said that he preaches the same gospel as the Church of Rome. Billy Graham spoke and said he could quote Pope John Paul II as being a real spiritual authority. I don't care. You know what? I struggled with my office. I finally said, God, I'm just going to reveal it. I ain't going to tip. I know that this city's big and strong, but it's time for a church to become truth and stand up and say, you know what? You're being duped. In 1984, in Vancouver, British Columbia, the crusader Billy Graham stated that if a Catholic came to a crusade and filled out a salvation card, no attempt would be made to convert them, and their name would be given to the closest Catholic church to their house. He had all his counselors at the Denver and Portland, Oregon crusades. They came from the Catholic Church. Billy Graham doesn't even believe in hell. He quoted on TBN, I think people have a hard time believing that God is going to allow people to burn in a literal hell forever. I think the fire mentioned in the Bible is a burning thirst for God. Give me a break. Did you know Billy Graham was a 33rd degree Mason? We're going to talk about that in a second. Those who don't know about Freemasonry. Is this all right? You want me to stop? Am I preaching truth? Hallelujah. You want to hear truth? You want me to tickle your ears? You want me to sit back and tell you how great and grand? You've heard about Parliament of Religions. Store this up here. It's a picture of Parliament of Religions. Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, Catholic priests. Here's a reprint from the Catholic Journal. From August 28th to September the 4th, 1993, representatives of virtually all the world's major religions came together in Chicago, Illinois, for the second Parliament of World Religions. The first parliament, held 100 years ago, saw the introduction of Asian religions through the Western audiences. Now, in this second meeting, they introduced the Covenant of Goddesses, the Circle of Sanctuary, Earth Spirit Community, Fellowship of Isis. Isis is the third deity of an Egyptian trinity, which is Babylonian. You're going to find that everything the Roman Catholic Church teaches, it comes from Babylonian roots. You're going to see it with your own eyes. The fellowship of Isis. The documents listed below are describe some of these activities at the Parliament of World Religions. A movement to revoke the papal bull was initiated by the Indigenous Law Institute in 1992. At the Parliament of World Religions in 1994, over 60 Indigenous delegates drafted a declaration of this vision. We call upon the people of conscience in the Roman Catholic hierarchy to persuade Pope John II to formally revoke the Intercessor Bull of May 4th, 1493, which will restore fundamental human rights. That papal document called for our nations and people to be subjugated to the Christian Empire and its doctrines to be propagated. It says we need to diminish and banish our narrow differences and embrace all religions as serving the true God. Yeah, but what God are you talking about? Next slide. Pope calls for Christian unity. However, in his 12th encyclopedia, a major church declaration titled, May They All Be One, John Paul ruled out renunciation. He's urging all Christians to come back to Mama. He says all Christians came. See, the Catholic Church, the harlot church, is calling for all their daughters that have drunk from the cup of their doctrine. You know what the separation is? It's found in baptism. People can speak in tongues, and it's the Holy Ghost. But where the rubber meets the road, it's found in baptism. That's where the separation is. The Bible says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father, who's above all, through all, and in you all. But see, this mother church is pulling everybody into the deception. Look at Ezekiel said, Daniel 11:30-31. For the ships of Chittim would come against him. Therefore, he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. The devil hates the covenant. He hates the covenant of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord. Because that's what delivers souls. The blood of Jesus. He would have indignation, and he so shall he do, and he shall even return and have intelligence, or a mindset, or a doctrine with those that forsake the Holy Covenant. But I got news for you, there's an apostolic church that's going to stand. Next slide. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupted by flatteries. But the people that do know their God. How many know who God is? What's His revealed name? Hallelujah. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who's above all and through all and in you all. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Oh, come on, somebody. There's an apostolic church that's not going to drink from your cup. We ain't going to drink your doctrine. We're not going to accept it. We're going to stand on the truth of God's Word. Oh, come on, somebody. Praise Him. I'm going to behold. And we're going to be strong. Let me ask you something. Look at this. Next slide. You ever see this symbol in your church? You better look out. I can't begin to tell you how many churches, including the Catholic Church, that use this symbol every single Mass. Let me tell you what this is. This cross is seen in Christian churches sometimes and in Catholic churches. This is the cross of an ancient Egyptian symbol of life. Why is this in Christian churches? I'll tell you why. It's because their doctrine is not based from this Word. It's based from Babylonian error. Egyptian cross of life representing the union of male and female symbols, a female oval surmounting a male cross, an other name that was the key of Nile because the sacred marriage between God and goddesses was supposed to take place. Talking about a god that has relations with a goddess. The Christian version of the cross didn't appear in the Christian art until after the 5th century. You see, the true cross, my friend, is Calvary. It's not some God having relations with a goddess. Calvary! The blood! It's not a symbol of some union. Next slide. Did you know the word Trinity is not even found in the Bible? The word Trinity is based on the triangle. Everything, there are certain symbols you need to stay away from. Pentagrams, goat heads, heads of the goat of Mendes, triangles, these are all demonic and occultic symbols. And many of them trace all the way back to Babylonian doctrines. Triangles are purely satanic from the Egyptian religion of the Trinity. That's where the word Trinity came from. From Egypt, which traced its roots to ancient Babylon. Not the Bible. There was a Trinity of Horus, Isis, and Osiris. Osiris, the all-seeing eye. This three-headed god of the Egyptians was worshipped. Because you can take it, you can trace it to Egypt, trace it to Babylon, and from Babylon, trace it to Satan himself. Next slide. How many of you heard of the Black Virgin? Rays of the Black Virgin. The image of the Black Virgin embodied of an invisible dimension hidden within a being informs and guides or contains the Black Virgin symbol. She is Isis. What's that word I just said? That's one of the three dudes in the Trinity of Egyptian Babylonian doctrine. Bowing down to the Black Virgin, who they say is the image of Isis. It's Babylonian. Everything about the Roman Catholic doctrine is Babylonian. It's Babylon. It's the one world government. I mean, one world religion. Next slide. Here is, this picture is from Life magazine. Life magazine did a story on the present day Pope. Why is the Pope worshiping the Black Virgin or Isis, the Egyptian god? The Egyptian god of Horus, Isis, and Osiris. It's because their doctrines are the same. Next slide. Here is their representation. What's up here? Acts 17:29-30 says, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought to not think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven art by man's device. At the times of this ignorance, God winked, but he commands." Let me tell you something. If you're part of this Babylonian doctrine, you're not ignorant. I'm teaching you. God doesn't wink anymore. He commands. He demands repentance. Next slide. Clap your hands to God and praise Him. Hallelujah. Now, what is Babylonian doctrine? What is Egyptian religion doctrine? Dagon and Baal. Baal was known as the son of Dagon. These are gods of ancient Babylon and Philistia, or modern-day Palestine. Remember that. Today, modern-day Dagon is Allah. All Islam is based on ancient Babylonian beliefs. That's why one day soon, Islam and Roman Catholicism, already the Pope stood up and said, we need to accept Islam as brothers. And you know why? They believe the same thing. It's a Babylonian-based doctrine. And they will come together. And when the Roman Catholic Church comes together with Islam, they will have more than half of the world already. Next slide. Just notice this. This is pictures from the Encyclopedia Britannica. This right here is a picture of Dagon. Dagon is half fish, half man. That's a Dagon. Here is a goddess of Dagon, a ceremonial priest, and right here is called a fish hat. I want to say a fish hat. That's the hat that the priestess would use when they would go and worship the goddess the god of Dagon, the fish god. Everyone say fish god. Now notice that. You've got the fish in his mouth open right there. Just remember that. Next slide. Here's our ceremony hats again. There's the Dagon, the fish god. Here's the Dagon. What's the Pope wearing here? Why has the Pope got a fish hat on? Next slide. Look at that. Come on, somebody. I'm just showing you truth. You know why he's got a fish head on? Eskimo kissing with the Pope. Hello, some of two dudes. Eskimo kissing with a fish head on. Because they're believing a Babylonian doctrine that is straight from hell. Don't drink from their cup. Oh, come on, somebody. Everything representing the Roman Catholic Church religion, everything they wear is a reproduction of ancient Dagon and Baal worship. She's a whore, but thank God for the church, the living God. Thank God for the bride of Christ. Oh, come on, somebody, praise Him. Next slide. There he is. Blessing someone with his fish hat on. I'm sorry. Look at, I came across this ad. It's flying home from California, and I was reading, and I thought, what is this? Look at this. Next slide. Priests, shoplifting, no big sin at big stores. Despite what the Bible says against stealing, a Church of England priest suggested Saturday that it is no sin to shoplift as long as the victim is a big supermarket. It's okay to steal as long as the big store. Yeah. Jesus said, love your neighbors. He didn't say love Marks and Spencers. Hello? Next slide. Pope backs Darwin. How we're really stupid now. A bunch of monkeys. As long as in God's plan. Next slide. Look at here. The fish headdress of the priest of Dagon later became the mitre headdress of pagan Christian bishops. Look at that sign right there. Don't put these on your car. You're not worshiping Jesus. You're worshiping Dagon. Oh, he said, don't put no graven images. You don't need angels on your dashboard or on your lapel or crosses around your neck. Hello? You need Jesus in your heart. Oh, come on, somebody. Next. See, Dagon was a fish god. Much of modern Christianity is represented by a fish symbol. We think that's all cool. Because we don't study the scriptures. People are destroyed because they don't have knowledge. The Bible says no graven images are to be adorned. Fish and crosses are graven images. Exodus 24, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness or thing that is in heaven or in above or earth below or the water under the earth. What is above? Angels. Oh, I'm going to stop right now for a second. You wonder why Catholics eat fish on Friday? They're so brainwashed with Dagon! Oh, help me out, Lord. It's time out for a praise. Let's praise Jesus. Thank God for truth. I came across this. I had to show this to you while I was going along. Next slide. Southern Baptist Church to bless homosexual union. Where are we going? Where, you know why? Because we're all on the lap of mama. Next slide. All right, we're going to talk about Freemasonry. Whew, some of you, you're going, oh, you finally got off of that. Man. I'm really not trying to be facetious. I'm just telling you, church. The truth is going to set you free. There's more than 25,000 people in this city that need to know the junk they're following. Who's going to stand up and proclaim the gospel? Who's going to stand up and tell them the truth? Oh, come on, somebody. Let's praise Jesus right now. Hallelujah. What you are seeing is called the Eastern Star Symbol. This is literally taking out of the first page of the Satanic Bible. It's called the Satanic Ritual. But guess what? This is also the sign of Freemasonry. Masons serve Satan. That's all there is to it. I had someone who has said this one time in a church. He came up and says, "How can you call me serving Satan? I'm a deacon in my church." I says, "Maybe so. But Freemasonry is a religion. It's a religion, my friend. It's not the extended Boy Scouts." I tell you again, if you're a Freemason tonight, you need to get out. Get away. If you're a Mason or if you're a Shriner, get out of that order. It's all following, once again, Babylonian doctrines and Satanism. Next slide. I showed you this last week. I'm going to show it to you again. The map of the layout of Washington, D.C. Right there. What do you see? A Star of Midness. Goat's head. Here's the compass and the anvil of the Freemasonry. Our founding fathers laid out by Freemasons who established our nation. This symbol right here, you'll see it all over rap records and rock and roll records. Young people, you got rap records in your house and rock and roll records, this symbol, you better get rid of it. You listen to those records, you're worshiping Satan. You hear me? I don't care who it is. You see this junk, you better get away from it. Oh, come on, somebody. Throw it out! You're not worshiping God. Oh, put your hands together and praise Him. Next slide. Freemasonry, most people don't get past the third degree. So they know nothing about it. When you first get into Freemasonry, you get in what's called the Blue Lodge. That's where most people start. Then there's 3 degrees. Your first degree is the Entered Apprentice. There you have initiation ceremony. Within this initiation ceremony, it reveals the true nature of Freemasons. But most never go past. Now, they call Freemasonry a system of morality. That's what I'll tell you. It's not. It's a system of immorality. When you get past the third degree, then you've got 2 rites. You've got the Scottish Rite, you've got the York Rite. The Scottish Rite is where most go, and it has 32 degrees in it. From the 33rd degree, Mason is honorary. That's the highest degree that you can go into. In 1770, modern Freemasonry became developed, and today there are over 5 million Freemasons in the U.S. and over 1 million Shriners. Now, again, it was a craft, it was speculative. A Mason was someone who worked with his hands. That's how they presented it. The speculative, and most Freemasons, you ask them, what's the difference between a craft Mason and a speculative Mason? A craft Mason is someone who says, "I work with my hands, I lay brick." A speculative Mason is one who is committed to propagating the New World Order. But let me tell you what happens when you get initiated into Freemasonry, when you enter the Blue Lodge, the first level. When you enter, the apprentice puts a noose over his head and tightens it around his neck. He is blindfolded, then he is led by what they call him, the most worshipful master. The Bible says, don't call any man father or any man master. Hello, somebody. And they bring him into a room blindfolded, and he has to take an oath of blood to swear to the secrecy and the secrets of Freemasonry. In this ritual, they take their hand and draw it around his neck. Show that if you go and you divulge your secrets, you'll be cut from ear to ear. Here within Freemason, they openly worship Horus, Isis, Osiris. Once again, this is from the book of Kabbalah. Kabbalah is the ancient book of Babylonian worship. This is the Trinity, the triune Egyptian god. Next slide. Now, Freemasonry, the witchcraft, and the occult, all of their initiation ceremonies have the exact same rituals. In all 3, you must be screened and recommended by somebody within witchcraft, somebody within Freemasonry, someone within the occult. You're blindfolded, bound by a rope, and then they take a sword and stick it to your chest, saying that if you, warning you, if you divulge the secrets, then all of them, you're led in blindfolded by a rope and a sword is stuck to your chest in the occult and in Satanism. They kneel before a master, merciful master or a high priest and treat him as a god. Don't you sit here and tell me Freemasonry is innocent, my friend. Wake up and open your eyes. All of the prayer rituals in Freemasonry, in witchcraft, and in the occult are ended with the words, "So mote it be." See, Freemasons use Egyptian pagan rituals. They use obelisks. They use points within a circle, which is derived from sun worship. The circle being the universe and the point being the sun. Albert Pike, the sovereign pontiff of universal Freemasonry, he stated, "Lucifer is a god equal with Adonai, the Hebrew god." But see, most people don't get past the third degree and don't even realize this junk they're in. They get swept in by the millions. If you know someone's a Freemason, tell him to get out. Last slide. Who does Freemasonry worship? When Masons get together, they stand in a corner, a circle. They join hands, and they repeat the words, "Jah, Bel, On," over and over and over. One person says Jah, one person says Bel. What this is, it's a triune doctrine, a three-headed God that they say is made of Jehovah, Bel, and Osiris, the third God in the Egyptian Babylonian Trinity. And they worship them in these meetings. Masons believe that they themselves be lifted to heaven by degrees of good works, totally removing the blood of Jesus. I thank God for the blood. I thank God for truth. Can you stand? Let's lift our hands to God and praise Him. The Holy Ghost is fixing to fall in this place. Oh, come on, church, lift your hands to God. Come on, all this building, lift your voices. The Holy Ghost is fixing to move in this place. I said the Holy Ghost is fixing to move in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you for truth. God, ignite us to not be ashamed to proclaim truth, to preach it. Oh, come on, church, lift your voices, all this building. God's trying to move. God's trying to move. Hallelujah. Yandra kataya dramoho Shayandra yara yara ramosi. Oh God, Shayandra ki ramosor shokatay ramah. Shayandra shokatay ramah. Church, there is a world Just out the front door of this church, there's a city that needs to hear the gospel. They're bound to the sea. Their eyes are blinded. They don't even know the roots of what they serve. We've got to proclaim the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection. The truth of the mighty God in Christ. In closing, I'd like us all just to come and stand on this front. Church, I want to make a commitment tonight. We need to share the gospel. We make sure our doctrine stays pure. Stay true to the Word. Love the Word. Don't be afraid. You don't got to sit down and fight and debate. You don't got to argue. Just love this truth. Just love it. Love it so much, you'll share it with everybody you know. I hope tonight I've stirred you to realize the hour we live in. I hope I've equipped and stirred you to go forth. Maybe you know somebody that's bound. Somebody that thinks they're in something innocent and they're really bound by demonic ritual or Babylonian false doctrine. The truth will set you free. All of us willing, lift your hands to God. Come on, let's commit ourselves to God. Lord, I want to speak truth. I want to speak truth. I want your truth to be embedded in my soul so deep that nothing can shake me.